Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy Thursday, everybody. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Mike Bell, we got a little bit of a surprise yesterday as we did not think that the Hawks, number one, I didn't feel like or think that they would look as good as they did. Again, it was Brooklyn, and I get that. But to start the season off, I think we all had a kind of, you know, reservations about what this was going to look like. And the surprise wasn't Trae Young, guys. Trae's been doing this. The 30 and 12, that's not a surprise. The surprise is double O. Okongwu with a career high. And, you know, you're talking about 28 points, Mike. He was so good. 11 of 12 from beyond, or should I say from the field.
Right.
He missed a shot last night. And, you know, 6 of 6 free throws. Okongwu was doing everything that we've been asking for the last few years.
Yep, we're looking for everybody to elevate their game. And this was a guy that, like, remember, Okongwu, it wasn't like it's a throwaway pick either. You know, when you go back, this guy was drafted 6th overall.
For sure.
This is a Travis Schlenk pick, and it's time. I mean, it's time, you know, to go for it. This is 4th season in the pros. So it looks like, now again, one game, don't overreact to it. But if he can give you something like that, or even average it out to, like, you know, 19, geez Louise, all of a sudden now you got some more offensive firepower. And nothing against Clint Capella, who had 20 minutes last night, but if Okongwu keeps trending like this, you know who we want to see near the basket.
No doubt. He's going to get more run. There's no doubt about it. Hawks win, by the way, 120-116. They made it a game late, like the Nets did.
We started missing, like, we had some bad shot selections, some bad turnovers late, and then they would just come down and foom, 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 instead of bombing threes.
They did.
I mean, it is the NBA, and it's a game of runs, right? But I will say that they did show some composure when it got down to, it was a tie, and then, you know, a single possession game.
Cam Thomas had a big game for them, 36 points. The moment of the night obviously came with the hard foul on Dyson Daniels. That came from Claxton. And you've seen the replay. If you haven't by now, he wound up. It was not a basketball play. Clobbered him in the face. And Dyson chased him right up into the stands, Mike. And was like, yo, we're not going to have that. And everybody was like, kind of on edge. Because, Mike, we haven't seen a Hawk react this way.
No, I mean, got it back to Solomon Hill for somebody who would actually chase somebody and do something about it. So, yes, I love it. And you know me. Everybody's like, you know, you're like a 5-year-old. You want to see fights? No, I just want to see guys step up. I just want to see guys step up for themselves because this is still, it's a contact sport. And if you get punked and let a guy do that to you, sends the wrong message. So my first game, literally watching Dyson Daniels, I said, that a boy.
Yeah.
Freaking loved it.
No, I also think it sends a message to the rest of the league. Like, teams already think we're soft.
Because we are soft.
Okay.
Hopefully that's going to change.
Yes. And the idea is, again, you're not going to see guys getting clobbered like it's the 90s. But if there is a hard foul or unnecessarily a foul that shouldn't happen, guys should react properly. So it was good to see that. But he also played well, Mike. 15 points from a guy that I was concerned about. I told you guys, I was like, can he shoot? Is he going to be able to shoot? 15 points. D was there. He got steals. He got blocks. If he plays like that again, and you start to say, okay, what do these role guys play like? Because that's the point we don't know yet. Richashe, we'll talk about in a second. But, Mike, if he, along with the double O, plays that like that on a nightly basis, we're going to be in good shape. And we'll be in every game. And you know, then you got a closer in Trae, and we'll see where this goes.
Look, it is Brooklyn. They're not expected to be anything. I had a laugh, though, with Ben Simmons. We all know he can't shoot. He can't do anything. Last night, he was walking around like a goon. He's like, fuck. See how quickly Ben Simmons got those fouls last night? I mean, guess what? I got a career arc for you, Ben. Learn how to ice skate. You can play for the Islanders or Rangers and actually serve a purpose in the world of sports. But anyway, yeah, he was a goon last night. Love what I saw, though, from the Hawks. As you said, this is what Trae will do. And whatever it was, failed experiment with DeJounte. Whoever's, you know, you want to blame him. DeJounte, by the way, is going to be missing a bunch of time for the Pelicans. He broke his hand last night. He ran into Zach LaVine, poof, and he goes down. So either way, Trae, it's back to being his completely and totally Trae's team. Not that it ever wasn't, but now, if there's any doubt, he can do what he wants to do.
404-726-0929. What did you think after the opener? They will play Charlotte tomorrow. We will actually be down there. The show will be leading up to the game tomorrow night against Charlotte. 404-726-0929. Let us know what you think. Also, find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And, of course, follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Big O, can I hear Trae talk about the first game? And then I want to hear him talk about Brooklyn's hard fouls, because there were a couple more after that incident with Dyson. And, you know, things got chippy, but, you know, composure is the key, right? You got to keep your head about yourself, especially when you're leading in a game like this. And this is a team that you probably should beat. As Mike's point, this is not a good team. They're not going to be one of the best teams in the East. Here's Trey talking about the first game.
It was a good first game for us. I mean, that was our first fourth quarter we played all summer. We didn't play any fourth quarter, so it was good the way we executed down the stretch and things like that, because that was important, and we've been focusing on that in practice. So that was just one game.
Now, listen, I don't want to over-exaggerate this, but it seemed like he was having fun to me, Mike.
Yeah, I just think the DeJounte Murray thing and we joked around about it yesterday. All these guys, like, you guys are making – no, because it was a bit of a soap opera, because it never worked right. The commitments that were made verbally to the coaching staff, the prior coaching staff, were never seen through, and I'm done blaming and pointing fingers. It's over. But now you're right. Just let the man do his thing. And if you get him some defensive help, then he's not as much of a liability in the half court. Let's go to work. I mean, maybe we should have tried that the first time. Just beef up the defense around him, as opposed to taking a guy that puts the ball out of his hands. He didn't want to play without the ball in his hand.
I don't know if he'll say it. Maybe he will at some point. I just feel like he was having fun last night. Hmm. Smiling, joking, playing, you know, with the passion, but also just the freeness that we've seen him play with. Mike, the floater's there. I mean, that felt like it went away a few years ago. Like, where's the floater?
Almost hit one before the buzz. You see that one? It just came
absolutely
up a little bit short.
Yeah, so, I mean, that to me is what I saw. Now, we'll see how it goes. But if he's playing free like that, Trey's dangerous. Because that's the Trey Young we all fell in love with. As far as the other things that happened last night, and this was locally as well, Kennesaw State, a big shout-out to the Owls, who notch their first FBS win, Mike, knocking off Liberty 27-24. We know we have a lot of folks that are up there at Kennesaw State and certainly listen to the show, but it's the program's first win after an 0-6 start. And you talk about the Group of Five race now with Liberty, who was – you know, kind of leading the way there. And I know Andy and Randy, and Abe was in for Randy today, that they had the coach on today. I think this is one of those signature wins, Mike, where you talk about, okay, can they compete? Are they going to be relevant? It was good to see the kids storm the field and all the things that go along with these kinds of wins. But here's the other thing. I mean, you're getting great football from other programs outside of Georgia Tech and Georgia here in the state of Georgia. And Kennesaw State, guys, is right up the road. We talk about, you know, seeing soccer matches in that stadium all the time. But this was a big one last night. So big shout out to Kennesaw State.
First Conference USA win. That's, again, we've talked about this team. And is it the tough times now because of where college football is headed for all the major programs? So feather in the cap. And you know, I've said it. You know, he's a good dude, the Georgia Tech connection. So that's a hell of a win. Great interview with Andy and Abe today.
All right, guys. More on that coming up. Also, we're going to get a chance to talk to Brett Boone. Mike was joking about the World Series. But listen. No baseball for, like, what, 6 days, whatever the hell it's been?
Right.
It feels like it's been forever.
Well, the Mets-Dodgers were so weird because everybody would just either – every game was a blowout or a very high score or one sort of one-dimensional. And then it was kind of lost in the shuffle with Georgia and everything else on Saturday. And then you don't play it. And Major League Baseball, to me, loses momentum. Should have been playing on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yep.
Should have been a travel day, back to work on Friday. But no. So we'll see where the ratings go. It was 41 million people that watched it back in 81. As we know, Carl, the viewing habits have drastically changed when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, these are two big brands. They got a lot of star power. I'm curious to see what it looks like as well. Again, no rooting interest, except I don't want either team to win, to be quite honest.
Or just give us some entertainment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Give me something decent.
Well, listen, if you're telling me Ohtani's going to hit two home runs and then Judge is going to match that with two home runs in game one, then I'm all for it. But as far as, like, somebody asked me, who are you rooting for? Well, I certainly don't want the Yankees to win, and I was not rooting for the Dodgers. I wanted, actually, San Diego to be in the World Series because, well, they beat us, and I didn't want to see the Dodgers there, but it is what it is.
You and I were talking about it earlier, and I don't know how this resonates for our younger audience, and we meet people all the time out there in their 20s, and do you care? Because baseball has just become so provincial, and it's so regional. And I got to be honest, when you and I were kids, this was like must-see TV. This was like as good as it gets. The Dodgers, the Yankees, the Big Red Machine, all that. Now it's just like, now the Braves are out, I'm just like, I'm focused on football. I don't have a passion for it, if I'm honest with you.
Hey, you might not be the only one. I mean, the deal is, if you want people to tune in, one, promote it, and this is what I said to Chris, where are the big promos? Where are all the in-your-face, you know, Ohtani, he may pitch. I mean, give me something. I haven't seen any of that. And then two, if the games are entertaining and interesting, people will tune in. Listen, it could be a nothing game, and all of a sudden you get to the ninth inning, and it's 1-0 Dodgers, and your friends are talking about the game. You're going to tune in. So that's when those numbers go off the charts. It's not like everybody's going to be tuned in for every inning.
I heard Fox had a whole concept, Carl, they're going to do with East Coast, West Coast, but obviously with Diddy in the can, it kind of went out the tubes. So
Well, maybe they'll have a freak-off.
I'm just saying.
Maybe they'll have a freak-off, Mike. Who knows? All right. Coming up, we're going to talk with Brett Boone about the World Series. He is our Odyssey MLB insider. That's on the way in 20 minutes. But when we come back, we have to talk about what's going on with the Falcons. Kirk Cousins talking about the performance last week and how they can be so much better against Tampa on Sunday. It is a big spot for the Falcons. We'll get into that and much more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. It is Dukes and Bell on a Thursday. Kicking it with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we'll have a conversation with Brett Boone as we'll talk about the World Series. By the way, which way are you leaning if you have to pick one?
Meteor.
I agree.
Or asteroid strike.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just can't, you know how I feel about the Dodgers and the Yankees. I mean, guess it's a, is it a pick 'em, Chris? I mean, again, you are the resident Yankee expert. I know that, you know, pitching staff, I guess, slight edge to the Dodgers, although they've had more injuries than anybody, right, with their pitching.
They have.
You know, I mean, it's going to be, you know, home field advantage, at least one game advantage to the Dodgers because it goes 2-3-2, LA, you know, with three in New York.
Yeah, so the Dodgers are minus 127. New York is plus 107.
There you go. That's about as even as you're going to get. By the way, well, real quick, sidebar. While we're talking gambling, because I'll be calling in the picks later tomorrow when you guys are doing the pick segment from State Farm for the Hawks, lock me in right now with the Falcons at -2.5 before it goes
you
to
want
three.
It?
Ooh.
You want it?
Okay. If you want it, come and get it.
Are you sure?
Yes, I want it.
Okay.
I want it.
All right.
Give it to me. I want, but I want it now before it gets to three because it probably is going to be a three-point game. So
yeah.
Give it to me at 2.5, Chris.
These are listen, I do think the Falcons win, but these are the kind of games where you go, everything should go our way.
Should.
And we win by one. Like that's right. The kind of way that we've seen this time and time again in the National Football League.
Teams that have nobody and they're decimated with injuries and they find a way at home to rally.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. But it's just to lose those caliber receivers that they've got, don't think you overcome that.
I don't either. And I also think coming off the loss, you know, Coach called it a wake up call for us. And that's kind of how I feel. I mean, like you come off of that loss against Seattle, you gotta play a lot better. Mike, we're at the point in the season where over the next 3 weeks, we're going to find out really what our team is about. And if I was to ask you right now, like, what is our strength? What is our identity? We've seen our quarterback throw for 500. We've seen us run the ball fairly well. We still have questions on defense that we're wondering about. Like, what is our team right now if I asked you? And I'll give you an example. If I asked you that about the Ravens, you know exactly what they are, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you talk about that dynamic offense. It's, you know, it's playmakers of the yin-yang. I think that we've got multiplicity. How's that for a word? We can be offensive with our run game. We can be offensive with our passing game. We've shown that ability. It is a lot like the 2016. I know I said all offseason, 2016. I didn't want it to be exactly like 2016 because that defense wasn't anything special. It just got clutch and got some turnovers at times. I think we were 27th in defense that year with all those rookies. But we're kind of the same way. You know, of course, that year we had pass rush when Freeney came in to help out Vic.
Yeah. I think over the next few weeks, this is when we're going to really find out. And what I mean by that is, like, are we as good as we think we are, and are we a real contender, or are we just kind of in the mix? Because right now there's a ton of teams that are just in it.
Before we mailed it in, and that's what we did at times, and just the penalty, we got to clean up the penalties, all the things Rod told us yesterday, but before we lost that game to Seattle and the way we lost it, I thought we could hang with anybody in the NFC. Now I'm not so sure. I need to get, you know, reinforced by not monkeying around in Tampa this weekend.
All right, before we get to some headlines, we're talking, you know, you were talking about the numbers. You're telling me Miami's not going to cover the 21.
Miami's going to – it was funny. I saw somebody, and God bless all the Florida State fans.
Excuse me, Florida State.
Florida State fans. There was some website which was tracking the uniforms, and they were saying, you know, the last time Miami wore the black uniforms, they blew that game against Georgia Tech. And I hit this one guy back. I said, Miami can wear Bermuda shorts and wife beaters. They're going to beat Florida State by 30. Okay, this ain't going to be close. You know, so Florida State 2 years ago –
does Florida State score in this game?
Yeah, they'll score a couple of – I mean, like, they got the this defense isn't bad. It's just they don't Miami is just so much better than them.
Yeah, they are.
You know, and that's where it comes down to. You just don't – everything you've talked about, not having leaders. They've won one game this year, Florida State has, Carl.
Yeah, 1-8. 1-8. It's tough. Miami, by the way, now is chasing not only ACC championship. I think they have their eyes set on, hey, we can be a top four seed if we run this thing. And I don't think there's any slowing down this weekend, especially in a rivalry situation. But I asked you that because off air I asked you and you said – there's no way they're winning this game.
No, there's like, I mean, I want to be wrong. this is a game I never miss.
Yeah.
And I made the decision a few weeks ago to not be there because I love going to the Hard Rock. I love doing the weekend in Lauderdale. All of my old Florida State buddies are down there. Forget it. Brock Glenn is at quarterback. Luke Cromenhook, the kid from Benedictine and Savannah, that's the kid I would want to see at quarterback. He came in and gave him a spark against Duke. But this coach has no idea, Carl, how to fix this. I'm talking about Mike Norvell.
Wow. How the mighty has fallen.
Indeed. Well, I did. Remember, all offseason, I was arguing with these FSU fans about it. But anyway, but that's going to be a walk for Miami. Hard to see it otherwise.
We're going to break down more college football coming up at 4 o'clock. Big O's behind the glass, our engineer, and pushing all the buttons, of course. Turtle is our executive producer. Let's hit some headlines. Well, speaking of the Falcons, Kirk Cousins was talking about, you know, how do you get over bad performance? Well, how do you get over bad performance? Yeah.
Mooney, you know, locker buddy, you know, he made a comment as we're heading out to practice. He said, what's the date today? I said, I don't know, I think it's October 23rd. He said, Wednesday, October 23rd, you know, 2024, we're never going to get this day again. Like, let's, you know, he kind of was just, you know, positive, you know, sunshine and rainbows going into practice. So I was like, I like this. So he was ready to go. And there was a little bit of that today. Just, hey, let's go and treat this as an important day and 1-on-1, and let's go do the best we can today.
Mooney had 105 yards in that unbelievable overtime thriller against the Bucs. Since then, he's combined for 84 yards.
In both games?
Correct.
Yeah. And here's the deal. I mean, again, Bijan last game with the 100 yards, and you go, okay, great, but I want to get everybody involved. It felt like that game, and it shouldn't take Kirk throwing for 500 yards to do it, but it felt like that game, Mike, everyone was involved, right? Drake was making plays. Mooney.
I think it's like nine guys had receptions in that game. Some crazy number.
Yeah. And so I'd like to see a little bit more of that. Meanwhile, Kirk was talking about facing Tampa Bay. You know, this is a quick turnaround, guys. We just saw these guys 2 weeks ago. So what do you learn, and then how do you apply that to this matchup?
It's pro football. We've got to be ready to go. We knew, you know, in our division, you're going to play everybody twice. And in this case, just play them a little earlier in the year, a little quicker. But, you know, played them at home. Now we got to go on the road and try to find a way to get a win any way possible.
Falcons still lead the NFC South because the Bucs were also, you know, they lost on their home field. The Saints and Panthers, listen, we know both of those teams right now are on the outside looking in. I asked Coach yesterday, and he didn't want to get ahead of himself, Mike, when I said, you win this game, you put yourself in the driver's seat. And he's like, it's just one. He knows. They know. You win this one. We got one more with the Saints and one more with Carolina. That Carolina game, guys, is at the end of the season. I'll be quite honest with you. The division could be done.
And again, both us and the Bucs are 4-1 in the conference, but they've got one loss in the division. The conference is division. We're getting these other tail. If you don't win the division, it doesn't matter. I mean, but we've got to win the division first. But there's some other things out there that you want to certainly maintain. That was our first conference loss to Seattle the other day. But man, just let's get in there. Let's not monkey around. That's why I think for a lot of Falcon fans, you don't have people give it a, I told you so. I think most people do accept that it was just one of those flat weeks, which still sucks, but that's not our team. What we saw last week, I don't believe that's what this team is about.
No, I don't either. Hawks pick up their first victory of the year against Brooklyn, and Trae Young was asked about the hard fouls. There were a couple of them. The one that stood out was against Dyson Daniels. Claxton was ejected after that foul. Trae said this about their hard fouls.
I don't mind any physicality. I feel like our team doesn't either. I feel like we're going to stick up for each other. I think this is a different type team that I've been a part of, and Everybody's going to stick up for each other, and it shows, and you can feel it when you're on this team. And so I think you saw tonight, like, even O sticking up for Dre, like, I mean, O had no business in being in there, but went over there and checked him, and it was good. Like, that's part of it. Like, I mean, there's been times teams done that to us in certain things, and nobody said a word or did anything about it. So it's a good sign and a great start for us. If people don't like it, I mean, that's on them. I love it.
Right on. We said it, man. When, who was it? Was it DeAndre walking off the court, got punked at the Garden?
That's right.
And Solo Hill, other guys are in his face. I mean, Solomon was an OG. I mean, literally. We need some of that. We talked about it earlier. Trace, by the way, that's from Cars, who's a big stat guy on Twitter. Trace, Trae Young, Jalen Johnson, and Zachary Risache in just under 10 minutes together were plus 11 for what it's worth on the court. And a good offensive rating. Defensive rating was 76.2.
Okay, that's good. And it needs to continue to get better. Zachary Risache, by the way, hit his first shot as a pro, first real shot in a game. Trae lost his mind. But then after the game, Quinn Snyder was asked about what he thought about his performance.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he did a really good job. And when you know, he's made shots, and what to me, the point of emphasis is you're not going to make shots every night, and how do you impact the game other ways, whether it's a pass or a cut defensively. And the other part of that is you don't stop shooting, you know, because he's a really good shooter.
He is, mm-hmm. And I think we'll see more of that. Mike, we'd be remiss if we didn't say congratulations again to Steve Holtman. Bang! 3,000 consecutive games. They had a nice ceremony for the voice of the Hawks. He is a member of the Georgia Radio Hall of Fame, and I thought the Hawks did a great job in honoring him, and certainly Mike Conti as well, and everybody last night. So congratulations, Steve. We know you're listening, and it was really cool to see you get 3,000.
Yeah, man. I mean, such a great guy. And, like, you know, he bleeds Hawks red and white and yellow. I mean, he lives for it. And I just love the fact that he never, you know, sits there and talks like an announcer talk. He gives it to you. If something's not working, you know it. If you're sure. In your car, man, I love it.
Yeah, I no doubt about it. Hey, meanwhile, as we talk about all the things that are going on, the trade deadline looming, Mike, a couple of weeks from now. Everybody's wondering if we are going to get involved in any way, shape, or form. We asked Coach Ra that yesterday. Again, guys were pressing it and saying, hey, if you want a guy, do you go to the front office and say, hey, I want a guy? He is being, you know, as even keel as you can possibly be, saying we're always working on things. They are always making calls. Do you feel right now like we're going to go make a move?
Maybe a baby move. Okay. You know, like, you know, or mama bear move. Maybe not the papa bear move.
Not a big one.
I mean, just maybe somebody you feel that will fit our system. And it's funny, I see everything we talked about yesterday, you see it all the time. We got to stop playing off the ball. That's our defense, guys. We play as a cover two, cover three. And we've got to get pressure from the down line, and they all work together. So without that pressure, I know it looks like a prevent defense. It's not. But I know guys get sick and tired of seeing guys just running for miles and miles in that spacing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't feel like this is going to be a big splash move. And if they do, it'll shock the NFL. It'll surprise everybody. But I don't feel that way. And again, the guys that we would like to have, Mike, are just not available right now.
Right. So, I mean, everybody covets a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett. But you guys, look, this means you feel this team is that. And we certainly feel good on offense. Could he be that good with Judon to be that much of a difference maker to edge rusher? Because let's be honest, Judon has not performed at a level we expected.
No.
And whatever reason, the Jimmy Lake defense is not getting Ebikadi in a position, despite what coach says, to make more plays.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The countdown is on, but we're seeing all these other teams do deals. And the Falcons are still saying, we're good. As coach said, I think the phrase was, Mike Tomlin, quote, I'm going to cook with the ingredients in the building.
Chris just said in my ear, Arden Key from the Titans is a potential piece that could be on the move.
Okay.
Let's see. He's 28, right? Thonia boy, local kid, right? But anyway, Arden Key is just one name to look out for.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, listen, there'll be pass rushers. They just won't be brand names, and that doesn't mean that they won't come help, but that's the other part of this, Mike. I mean, it's all in what you want and what's your budget. What can you go spend? What can you do when it comes to acquiring some of these guys as far as draft picks and then looking at their salaries?
He's bounced around the NFL. If you look for some numbers, he's bounced with 6.5, 6 sacks a couple years back, so maybe that's something that fits.
All right, coming up, Brett Boone's going to join us, guys. Odyssey MLB Insider. What does he think about this upcoming World Series? We will find out coming up next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our buddy Grant McCauley tweeted out, I see you rocking. One of your faves right there?
Love this tune. Always.
Yeah. There's certain songs, man, that just get you going in the
car. I literally had this yesterday with the top down coming back on 85. Yeah.
There's so many songs. But Grant McCauley tweeted out as we await talking with Brett Boone here that literally October 23rd to the day, and he's got a, you know, Matzik striking out the side, and he says, this was 10:55 p.m. Eastern, October 23rd, 2021. Tyler Matzik was legendary exactly 3 years ago. And watching that, Mike, gave me chills because thinking about how good he was and the bullpen was, just a special moment, and we're going to hopefully see more special moments in this World Series. Unfortunately, it won't include the Braves, but that's what the World Series is about. Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone joining us. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. All right, Brett, we are here. I'm sure your brother's pretty damn happy, but the job is not done. And here are the Dodgers who are absolutely loaded. Mike and I have been saying, we think, okay, we don't know, but, like, are more people going to be interested because of the fact that it's Yankees-Dodgers And these are huge brands with a huge star power.
Well, I think it's a movie script. You know, I think it's and it really did work out the way it's supposed to from a statistical perspective. I mean, you look at the Yankees, they were 94-68, best record in the American League. Dodgers, 98-64, best record in the National League. And they're facing each other in the postseason. L.A., New York, tons of star power. I mean, Ohtani and Betts and Freeman, and the list goes on in L.A. And then you move out to New York, and you got Judge and Soto and Garrett Cole on the Hill game one. And then if you want to get movie time, you get into Aaron Boone and Doc for the two managers.
Right.
Doc Roberts. Roberts went to UCLA. Aaron went to SC. So it's like a storybook all the way down to the manager. I think it'll be interesting. And they're pretty evenly matched. I mean, they're pretty evenly matched. So I think it should be a great World Series.
Our only beef is, let's get on with it already. I just felt like they lost some momentum because, you know, that Mets-Dodgers series was strange how it was kind of, you know, blowout city in almost every game. But it just, we have to wait 6 days while there's other big things happening in the world of sports.
Yeah, well, that's how it, you know, and that's why we're going in for the first time. Well, I guess it's been for a couple of years, but
right.
I remember back, you know, 20 years ago, you were done by now.
Right.
I mean, it was over. And now you're going into November, so it's just the long rounds of play. I think Major League Baseball is still tinkering with the postseason since we have this new format of what is the exact right amount of time. If the games all go, you know, the final round, they all go seven games, where do we need to be? You know, how do we get everybody and the accommodation set up? And I think right now they're going with, you know, we're going to have almost a week off between the last game and the first game of the World Series. But it's constant tinkering, and I think this is just the way it worked out. But boys will be ready to go, and the machine will be running again starting tomorrow night.
I was going to ask you, how'd your brother handle the layoff, and what was he doing? I know sometimes, like, simulated games, or what was the routine to keep guys fresh?
Yeah, I talked to him early in the week, right after they clinch, and I said, what are you going to do? You going to lay low? And he said, well, if the Dodgers get in, Dodgers were still playing, they hadn't clinched against the Mets yet. He said, we're going to head out to L.A. on Wednesday. So I think they got in last night, and they're probably going through a workout today. I'm sure they had a light workout in New York, probably on Tuesday, probably gave Monday off. They'll probably have a workout today, you know, a bunch of media, and then tomorrow get after it. So a little bit of downtime for the guy, you know, on the Dodgers side with the Freddie Freeman at first base. It was perfect timing for him to get 5 days off of that foot. So it'll be interesting to see if he's back in the lineup. But I think we're ready to go. I think we're ready to go. Tomorrow night, you got an SC football game and the World Series, and I think a couple other sporting events are going on. So L.A. is going to be absolute circus tomorrow night.
It is. I'm curious. Listen, your family and you've been around baseball all your life, but for most fans, there's a moment where you fall in love with the game, right? And I'm thinking back to 81. This is the last time these two teams met. Pedro Guerrero, Ron Say, Steve Yeager. I mean, they're stars even then. But looking back, Mike and I were saying earlier, you know, there were certain series that as kids we watched and it was like, couldn't miss. Loved it, even though we didn't live in those cities. Well, when did you fall in love with it? Was there a series that you remember that, like, as a kid growing up, even though your family was in it, where you were like, this is awesome?
Well, yeah, the obvious answer for me is 1980. Dad's Phillies right. win the World Series, and I'm there for it, and I'm on the float the next day in the parade, and I'm 10 years old.
Wow.
I'll tell you, I've lived a pretty blessed life, you know,
with, right.
from grandpa's – from. Listen to from Grandpa about Ted Williams for the 99th time, and the Bob Fellers and how they were better than we were, and then through my childhood, just growing up the way I did, going to the ballpark for all those years in Philadelphia. Then my dad got traded to the Angels, and then I continued that on in Southern California, and then my career. So I've got to see a lot of things, but still to this day, some of my fondest memories are from my childhood, those 70s and 80s. I think that was the golden age. That was my favorite time. You know, I got to go to All-Star games and World Series in my own career, but just being a kid watching the big bad Buccos come to town in
right.
Philly and the big red machine and the
right.
Dodgers, with you mentioned Say and Garvey and Lopes and Russell, that infield, Dusty Baker in left field. those are the golden age of baseball for me, right, and all my travels. So I love that, and I've got we're doing a live stream the first game of the World Series, and I got you mentioned it, my first guest in the second inning. We got Ron Say coming in to talk about that.
Wow.
Then I got Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones, and then Tino Martinez finishes it off. So it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
It's funny. We were at a bar on Wednesday. We were Wild Wing, and I said, who was the Penguin? We had the Rod Say trivia question. Brett Boone is with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Advantage Dodgers pitching? I mean, Garrett Cole, I mean, how do you see it as far as Dodgers have been having to deal with injuries seemingly the last two seasons with their starting pitching?
Well, I look at the starting pitching, I give the advantage to the Yankees because of Garrett Cole. Mm. I look at the Dodgers, the way they got here, very unconventional. They're going with the bullpen games. They had four shutouts in the postseason, and most of those were done with the bullpen games. One game, I think Flaherty pitched seven innings, and it wasn't a bullpen game. But the other shutouts were bullpen games. I was listening to John Smoltz the other day, and he said, two things happen with these bullpen games. They either go really well, where they go off the rails. And I tend to agree with them there. I think when you think of the World Series, you think of the best starting pitching in the world. That's the way it's always been. I think that's what history will prove it's been. This year, a little unconventional the way the Dodgers have got there. And I just don't know if you can go that bullpen route and win a World Series. We're about to find out. The starting pitching with the Yankees, you got Garrett Cole. I think he's the key. I think if Garrett Cole pitches like the Cy Young Award winner he was a year ago, I think the Yankees win the series because they don't have anybody to counter him on the Dodgers side. You've got Flaherty, who got really roughed up his last outing. It's going to be interesting how he bounces back in game one. Yamamoto, the big contract coming over from Japan, all the expectations, had some arm injuries, and he's hit or miss. I think in the closing game against San Diego Padres, he was phenomenal. But other than that, he's been back and forth, you know, giving you two, three innings. Walker Buehler is not the Walker Buehler of 2021, where he's a bona fide number one. He pitched good his last outing, and everybody was talking about it, but I'm looking at the numbers going, he pitched four innings. Big deal. Anybody can pitch four innings. I'm used to the old days where it was those big matchups, the Verlander versus Scherzer, the Randy Johnson against Roger Clemens, those type of matchups, and they really seem they're kind of going away, you know. And so for me, it's the whole key to the series for me is Garrett Cole from the Yankees' perspective. I think when you get to the lineups, they both have tons of star power. We mentioned with Judge and Soto and Ohtani and Betts, and that's just to name a few. I think the Dodgers' lineup's a little longer and a little more firepower deeper in the lineup. You've got the Muncies and the Teoscar Hernandez. You saw Edmonds and Kiki Hernandez play big roles in the Dodgers getting here. So I think their lineup's a little bit longer. When it comes down to it, it's Garrett Cole. Bullpens, both solid bullpens, really good bullpens. So I call it a wash there. You get the home field advantage for the Dodgers, so that's a little bit of an advantage. It's so evenly matched, but a push game to shove, and I just got off the show doing this. They said, if you had to bet on this, who are you betting on? Well, the Dodgers are a little bit of a favorite, and I think that's just because of the home field.
Yeah.
But if you shorten the series, the home field's out of play. So if I had to bet, I wouldn't. But if I had to, I'd bet the Yankees. I think the Yankees have a slight advantage.
Yeah, and here's what's interesting. As we talked to Brett Boone, you know, the Yankees sent a bunch of, you know, it was a big haul to San Diego to acquire Juan Soto. Soto's in the last year of his contract. That's paid off, right, because of how he's played with Judge, 1-2. But what about Stanton? I mean, are we leaving out what could be the X factor in this thing for the Yankees and Giancarlo Stanton and how well he's been playing?
Well, I've said all year with the New York Yankees, I said, we know what we're getting with a healthy Aaron Judge. I know what I'm getting with a healthy Juan Soto. They're going to be MVP candidates. Judge is going to win the MVP. But the biggest factor, I thought, was a healthy presence of Giancarlo Stanton. And he's not going to be an MVP, but just have him in the middle of that lineup lurking was, I thought, was key to the Yankees' success. Because then you can't just kind of put Juan Soto and Judge in a box and not let him beat you. You got to pitch to somebody. And if Stanton's a factor, which he's been a huge factor, I think he just won the ALCS MVP. I think that makes all the difference in the world. Now, I think you're going to have – I mentioned Kiki Hernandez on the other side and the Edmonds with the big final game on clinch night where he had four ribbies. Those guys are important. The Volpes of the world, the Verdugos, the Torres at the top of the lineup, Jazz Chisholm, who when the Yankees acquired him at the trade deadline, I think they got more than they bargained for. I think they got a better player than they were expecting. He was a huge part of that team winning – the division this year, but he's been kind of absent in the postseason. So you're going to have the Chisholms of the world come back and do something offensively. He's been real silent so far. And with those Dodgers, you know, the Max Muncy's, he had a great series. He got on base 12 times in a row. Teoscar Hernandez in this last round had a rough one. Is he going to revive that and come back? Aaron Judge overall hit two really big two-run homers. But other than that, he was kind of held in check. So there's a lot of interesting storylines. I think that it's going to be fascinating to see how they play out. But Stanton definitely still, I think, if Stanton's a factor and Stanton swings the bat well in the World Series, that gives even a bigger advantage in my mind to the New York Yankees.
All right, Brett, we got to cut you loose, but since this is our last chance to speak with you during baseball season, we went bananas a few weeks ago when the Braves moved on from their hitting instructor because a year ago we had the best hitting team in baseball, and Kevin Seitzer got, and we're bringing
in, I saw that.
We're bringing in a new guy, and it's cool. He's been around Major League Baseball. He's part of the Rangers who just won a World Series. He's won a couple of World Series, but what do you make of hitting instructors? Tim Hyers, by the way, is the new guy. When you were struggling, can they get you right, philosophy, or is it at the end of the day the players still are ultimately responsible for how they make it work?
Without a doubt, it's the players. And I laugh year after year when teams don't hit, fire the hitting instructor. Well, let me let you in on a little something. It has nothing to do with the hitting instructor. I probably had 20 hitting instructors in my professional career, and probably one or two could help me at all. The greatest hitting instructors in the world are the best psychologists. The ones that can come up when you're struggling and you got that look on your face and you're completely lost. A guy like that for me was a Lee Elia. He would come by and he'd look at me and go, "Booney, how you doing?" And I'd say, "Lee, how do you think I'm doing? I'm 0 for my last 8. I'm not seeing the breaking ball. My swing stinks." And he'd look at me and he'd go, "How about this? Remember 2 weeks ago when we were in Texas and you did that thing with your top hand?" And I'd look at him, I go, "Yeah, I remember that." And he goes, "Why don't you try that?" And he'd walk away. All of a sudden, I went from hopeless, I got no chance, to I've got a chance. And what hitting is, obviously, we all do the same things when the ball's in the hitting zone to be successful, but it's the mental side. It's every day, and hitting, that's why hitting's so hard. The guys that can mentally say something to the individual that jars something loose and gets them on the right track, that's the most important part of being a hitting instructor. We're all going to get to the ballpark early when we're struggling to get on the tee, soft toss, whatever we need to do to correct the physicals. But it's the mental game, and the hitting instructor that can reach you mentally are, to me, the most valuable guys out there, and there's not too many of them.
Don't tell your brother, but I actually give him the edge as well in his manager. So
Dave Roberts, sometimes we've seen
it was cool seeing them both. They're both constantly on the hot seat. It was great to see them both make it to the World Series.
Yeah, Roberts, just in my opinion, I mean, there have been some crazy moments for him in these plays. Listen.
Don't they jam the analytics down his throat, though?
But the Dodgers have been loaded for a long time, Mike, and they got one of these things. I know they're hard to win. I get it, but yeah, I like the way your brother's getting it done, man. We'll see. Brett Boone, we appreciate you joining us, man. Thanks so much for an incredible year of talking baseball with you, and we look forward to talking with you down the road.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider Calls presented by Grainger. Hey, guys, this hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com for all your man cave needs. Coming up, NFL Blitz is on the way. Also, we'll get back into the Hawks' first victory of the year. And what did Kirby Smart have to say? That's coming up in the 4 o'clock hour as he stopped by the steakhouse today. Stay right there.